Hey, how you doing? Okay, good morning, everybody. Please go ahead and find your seats. Let's go ahead and open up with a prayer. Dear God and Father, thank you so much that you are here with us, that you've allowed us the chance to come learn about you. Father, that you've given us the chance to worship you. And Father, most of all, thank you for your perfect sacrifice, for the forgiveness that was bought at a price of your Son. Father, as we look into your word this morning, and as we look into songs that we sing about your word, Father, help us to draw near to you. Help us to set our hearts right. Help us to understand what we sing. Help us to understand what we think as we go through these songs and as we go through your scripture, Father. Help us to open up our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, first I need to, I don't think he's in the room, but special thanks to John Becker for doing an intro to my class Thursday night. He didn't know he was doing that, but that's what he did. Because today we're talking about songs, hymns of sacrifice. So for those who were there Thursday night, you know that's what we talked about. As I get started, though, how many of you have in the last, say, 12 months offered an animal sacrifice at an altar somewhere? Okay, not too many. Okay, that's good, I think. I appreciate that. Please stay away from my cat if you have been in the practice of doing this. However, that's not a normal thing in our modern society. But, you know, a few thousand years ago, that was pretty normal because that's how God set out worship. So this morning's class, we're focused on understanding the scripture behind the songs that we sing, understanding what it is that we're singing about, and how it ties back to the scripture, to the Bible, to God's word, okay? And in doing that, this week is about songs of sacrifice. Now, there's one real sacrifice that changed everything, right? The Lamb of God, Agnus Dei. Yeah, I don't see a light coming on that. Ah, you found it. He found it. Watch the technology work. Okay, we're good. Thank you, Larry. And what's scary is I work in IT. Okay, so doesn't mean I know anything about IT. It just means I work there. But the Lamb of God, or the Paschal Lamb, Passover Lamb, Jesus represents that perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice, the sacrificial animal in the Old Testament teaching, died in the place of the sinner. The shedding of blood is necessary for the forgiveness of sins, but it only worked temporarily. So we have a couple of passages here. There are whole sections of, you know, Leviticus chapters 3, 4, and 5, and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't know. Many, many details about how you can do sacrifices. So if you really want to learn how, go for it. You can study those out. We'll look at a few of those later here. But in Leviticus 23:19, you shall offer one male goat for a sin offering and two male lambs a year as a sacrifice of peace offerings. Okay? Point being that they offered these animal sacrifices. They shed the blood for the forgiveness of sins, but they had to repeatedly do it annually or at special occasions or when certain things happened, or at particular times, or if you had transgressed in any way, you went and made a new sacrifice. So the sacrifices were not only common, They were very common. This is what had to happen over and over and over and over again in the life of the early Hebrew nation. This is how it happened. So the idea of Jesus dying as a paschal lamb, as a sacrificial lamb, was not nearly as foreign to the thinking of people then as it might be to a modern American, right? But these are the ideas that we're building. And indeed, it says in Hebrews 9, indeed under the law almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. Wow. Full stop. That's an interesting, challenging thought. Without the shedding of blood there's no forgiveness of sins. You want your sins forgiven? Shed some blood. That's why there were animal sacrifices, because not too many of us were eager to shed our own blood, right? But then there came a perfect sacrifice, Amen. Jesus. Okay? That's what we sing about. So, we're going to do offerings and sacrifices 101, okay? I learned a lot looking at this. I've been around the church for, decades, let's just say. Many years. But we don't talk a whole lot about the details of Old Testament sacrifice because, frankly, we don't need to. Right? We're not doing those sacrifices. But looked up a few things. So we have the peace offering. Okay? This is an offering of fellowship. This offering signified peace between God and His people. This is essentially a communion, a coming together. This peace offering is described in incredible detail in Leviticus 3. So study that out, memorize it. There'll be a quiz at the end of class. No, there won't. There was the sin offering, the offering of purification. As it sounds, this was the offering for the forgiveness of sins, for the purification of the tabernacle also, which was interesting. Okay? And it included sin offerings that were designated for the priest, for the congregation, for the leader, and for the rest of us, right? So this sin offering was a very important part of how to draw near to God. God has nothing in common with sin. I can't approach God bringing sin. So how does this work? And then there was the guilt offering. And the distinction here to the average guy like me is a little challenging to get. So we'll ask Gary to teach about this sometime later. But the guilt offering is an offering of reparation. This seems to be specifically for a breach of faith or a sin. So it seems to be more an offering not for the general sin, but for a very specific, oops, I know I did something wrong here. Maybe I realized after the fact that I had said something I shouldn't have, or I had stepped somewhere I shouldn't have stepped, or touched an unclean animal, or eaten meat that wasn't the meat it was supposed to be. I thought it was clean, and later somebody told me it was an unclean food. Whatever. So these are the kinds of things. But a guilt offering, an offering of reparation. Okay? But all of these offerings, and you can read through Leviticus 3, Leviticus 4, Leviticus 5. It's neatly divided there, so you can learn all about these offerings. And if you understand the differentiations, please come tell me, because I'd love to know. But in any case, each of them involved a couple of very common themes. The offering required an animal that was spotless, unblemished. Okay? You don't bring the crippled, broken animals and give those to God. You give God your best. In each case, the sinner is identified with the animal. Frequently talks about having the sinner lay hands on, or the priest lay hands on this animal. So there's an identification that happens, drawing in the sinner to be represented by this animal. Okay? And in each case, the blood is removed from the animal. Also the fat, by the way, but that has less symbolism later, so we're not talking about that. But the blood is removed from the animal and is handled actually differently in these different kinds of sacrifices. I believe it's for the peace offering that the blood is then thrown on the walls of the tabernacle, which sounds rather unusual. I'd like to have seen it. But in any case, I'm kind of glad I wasn't there for that. But the blood was handled in a very particular way. So these are the norms. And if you had grown up as a good Israelite in the year 30 AD or so, you would have grown up with this kind of sacrifice going on around you. And for centuries and centuries before that, you'd have seen this kind of sacrifice going on. So when we start talking about the kinds of sacrifice and the elements that are involved in animal sacrifice, try to put yourself in that frame of mind. Because right now it just sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? I opened up asking how many of you have been killing animals lately, right? And most of us don't really want to admit that, even if we're doing it. Anyway, the hunters among us accept it, I suppose, but that's not an animal sacrifice. But the idea is this was normal. And this, in fact, was part of the way to approach God. How do you purify yourself sufficiently to be able to approach God? We know about the temple and the curtain and the Holy of Holies. It's a very big deal to approach God. Again, it's not such a big deal anymore. Richard's talked a few times about, you know, you'd probably dress up, brush your teeth, take time to think about it, show up on time if you were invited to meet with President Obama, right? But that is even less intimidating than going before the king was back in these times with these kings. Read the book of Esther. Understand, you know, you have the chance to be executed immediately because you've sought an audience with the king. God is holier and more powerful and more mighty than any king on earth. Approaching God is not a small matter. It becomes routine for us as Christians because it is routine for us as Christians. But let's count that blessing. And when we sing these songs that we're about to jump into, that's what we're singing about. The right to come to God. Not knowing that he might capriciously decide to execute us instantly, but knowing that God loves us and that he has taken care of the purification, the removal of sin, so that we can approach God. Mm-hmm. He's done it for us. And that's what we're singing about here. So I looked for a few examples. There are, of course, many, 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 many examples in the Old Testament and also a few in the New Testament of sacrifices, right? But these are some familiar ones, perhaps. So Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac is, of course, I guess the ultimate type of, and by type here I'm typifying, typical, not a different kind, but a typifying example of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But we have other sacrifices that teach us lessons. So Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was angry and his face fell. What's the problem? Well, this fun study there. Is it about grain versus animals? Is it the various things? But what we do know is that Abel's sacrifice was the firstborn, the best. He put the best before God. And that over and over and over again is taught to us about how sacrifice is done. Genesis 8, verse 20. What was the first thing Noah did after he got off the ark? Now remember, he'd been over a year on that ark floating around. Rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and then it floated for, 400 days or whatever. It was a long time. And cable TV wasn't working. I mean, it was tough. Okay? That was a serious problem. So the first thing you do when you get on dry land is what? You build an altar to the Lord. He took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So he took the clean animals, the good animals, and he offered this to God. And in fact, it says in the verses following that the aroma of that offering was so pleasing to God that God said in his heart he would never again curse the ground, wipe us out. So we're glad that Noah made that sacrifice, because that appeared to influence God's heart. That's what sacrifices do. The burnt offering in the Old Testament worship sent the incense, the fragrance, the odor to God, represented the prayers going to God. That's what that's all about. And then, of course, Genesis 22, you can read through on Abraham's near sacrifice of his son Isaac. Isaac was the not only firstborn, but the only born, right? Late in life, so late that he was named Isaac, meaning laughter, because Sarah laughed when she was told that she'd have a son. Okay? That's how special Isaac was. This wasn't one of his 35 sons and grandsons. This was his son of promise. And yet he was ready to sacrifice Isaac. And apparently Isaac was ready to let his father sacrifice him. He was offering God the best. If that's what you ask for, that's what you get. So, yeah, this is about songs, right? But I thought it's useful to make sure we understand sacrifice before we talk about what the meanings are in the songs. So we sing a lot of songs about the sacrifice of Jesus, about the Paschal Lamb, Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. Sometimes directly, Lamb of God, Agnus Dei. We sang Lamb of God last week. Agnus Dei we'll be singing today. We sing a lot of songs about Jesus on the cross, that perfect sacrifice. Many, many, many songs. Many of these we sing at communion, right? At the Lord's Supper, we stop and we really think about that sacrifice, which is entirely appropriate. But really, they can be sung in many, many contexts as well. And the point of the songs is to stop, make us think. So, let's dive deeper into a few of these. So last week we sang Lamb of God. Y'all remember that one? Your only son, no sin to hide. There's a reason I don't sing solos. Okay? This song very directly speaks to that Paschal Lamb, the offering, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. So let's think about these words that we sang last week that we'll sing again. It's interesting to me that this song seems to divide into two different kinds of offerings. You have sent him from your side, you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. If I think of those Old Testament offerings I mentioned earlier, what that makes me think of is the peace offering, that offering that draws us into communion with God. So Jesus' sacrifice is in fact referred to, we'll get to that later, I think, but in Isaiah, as the suffering servant of Isaiah, is spoken of as a peace offering. So very directly, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a peace offering that draws us into communion, into closeness with God. So as we sing words like these, the power of that, God sent Jesus, his only son, from his side and has brought us to his side. That's a powerful, powerful thing. Again, think of God. God, all-powerful, almighty. He can strike you dead. He gave you life. He does not owe me anything. He does not owe you anything. And yet he's done this for us. He's offered his son as a sacrifice so that we can approach him, so that we can be by his side. This song also calls out the sin and guilt offerings. The idea of the unblemished, perfect lamb with no sin to hide. Jesus came and walked upon this guilty sod. We all know what that means. That's old language, right? That means this earth full of sin, okay? They needed to find an internal rhyme with God, I guess, but this guilty sod. So Jesus left a heaven of perfection and sin-free and spotless and amazing and wonderful worship of God and came to a world filled with sin. And we killed him. Your gift of love, they crucified. Sacrificed the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. Did you feel that way? Do you still feel that way sometimes? You know, there's no reason I should be continuing. Just take me out now. But God brought us to his side. That forgiveness of sin far exceeds anything that we could have achieved. How? We were washed in his precious blood. Again, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Whose blood was shed? Not mine. No, God sent his only Son to shed blood in my place. Again, just getting that in the head sometimes is very difficult for me. But the idea is that Jesus typifies and fulfills a peace offering, a sin offering, a guilt offering. He allows us communion with God. He allows us forgiveness of sin. He allows us reparation of wrongdoing. All because he's perfect. More perfect than any of those sheep that were sacrificed all through the Old Testament. So when we sing that song, next time that one comes up, and it'll be a few weeks out, think about those words. Every song we sing, we select with attention to what the words mean. And the urgency is not to just sit back and sing along, or even worse, to sit back and listen to everyone else sing along, but to participate in that, to understand those words. Today we'll have one song being sung by the choir. You're welcome to join in. The words are pretty straightforward. But it is not just a chance to sit back and enjoy somebody else singing. Think about the words. They always have meaning. Now for you Latin scholars, I thought we'd do Lamb of God in Latin as well. So this week we're going to sing that one. We don't actually sing the Latin. Just the title is in Latin. But this is a powerful song we'll be doing. Actually, I've kind of worked in two communion songs in our service today so that we could do a couple of the songs that we talk about. Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. Again, obviously the title calls out that sacrifice. 2 weeks ago, we discussed the meaning of hallelujah or alleluia, the Greek version. And it means what? Praise the Lord. Alleluia, right? So that's praise the Lord. So this is a praise the Lord song. I could have done it 2 weeks ago, I guess. But it has a very different mood. This song is perhaps one of the most reverent songs we sing, just in terms of stop, think about, what does this mean? The whole mood, the whole setting is very profound. I love it for that. So here we're saying hallelujah. Praise the Lord, but we're not perhaps shouting it from the rooftops, but maybe saying it with a heartfelt, desperate praise to God who is able to offer the sacrifice for us. Praise God, because without his sacrifice, I'm lost. I have no hope. So when we sing these hallelujahs, don't just sing alleluia. Be praising the Lord for what he has done. The Lord is holy. He's set apart, consecrated. Those are words that tie in with the idea of an Old Testament sacrifice. Okay? It's a sacrifice. When you took that perfect lamb and you set it apart and you consecrated it and you dedicated it to God and you tied it up and you drained the blood from it and then you burned it on the altar, it was set apart. God is perfect. God is set apart. God is holy. We cannot approach God without being holy. He took his son and set his son apart as a perfect sacrifice so that we could approach him. It's almost like cheating. Lord God Almighty reigns. How could God do that? Wait a minute. He took his son, sacrificed his son by his rules so that we could be saved. It's like I didn't even have to do anything. That's kind of slipping in under the rules? Well, what does the word Lord mean? That's an open question. Master? Guy in charge? Right? First point is God makes the rules. God is Lord. He is almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, whatever word you like there. And he reigns. So here's this, praise the Lord, he's holy and he is powerful. He makes the rules. He follows the rules. He gets the job done. It's a sacrifice being made by his own law. How many of you have read or seen the movie or both of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? The rest of you repent and go read it. Anyway... It's a wonderful book, but I won't command that from on high, no. But it really is excellent. But Aslan, the lion, is a type of, a representative of Jesus, of God, his power. And at one point, the white witch, the type of Satan, if you will, has Aslan painted in a corner. And the way he can rescue the situation is to be sacrificed. Because that's the old law. So he permits himself to be humiliated and sacrificed. So if you remember that scene, the movie, the recent movie, did a pretty good job of making that visible. I still prefer the book, but hey, whatever. But Aslan had, I won't say a trick up his sleeve, but he had the power of righteous truth of God at his beck and call. His sacrifice, in fact, didn't stay permanent because there's a greater law that was at work. Why do I call that up? Because God wasn't cheating when he brought Jesus in as a perfect sacrifice for us. God was fulfilling the law, the teaching that he had always given. That's the sacrifice he was looking for. He worked through the challenge, not around the challenge. The forgiveness required the shedding of blood. So God didn't say, hey, I'm going to change the rules now. We're not going to shed any blood. God said, okay, we will shed the blood. We need a perfect sacrifice who is sin-free. Who could that be? That could be my son. And he did that. Why do we sing in this song about Lord God Almighty? Because God is almighty. He built the rules. He followed the rules. He didn't cheat the system. The blood was shed so that we could be forgiven. And he had the power to do that and still come out just fine. And that is why, at the end of this song, we are singing, Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy of our praise. He was worthy to be sacrificed. If Jesus had not been worthy to be sacrificed, he could not have created the forgiveness of your sin. He would have only been achieving forgiveness, perhaps, of his own sin. But because his blood was shed and he had not sinned, that gave him the power to be forgiveness for all of us. Was he worthy? Yes, we sing worthy. We're grateful for what he did. But more importantly, he was a worthy sacrifice. If God had substituted me on that cross, it wouldn't have done you any good. I would not have been worthy of that sacrifice, nor would any other human except Jesus. Okay? So when we're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb," we're not saying, "Gee, we like what you did." We're saying he was worthy to be that sacrifice. When I survey the wondrous cross, this is the third song in my list there. I'm not going to do all 15 that I listed, by the way. This is the last one. But when I survey the wondrous cross, what I like about this song is it speaks to the sacrifice that was made and our reaction to it as we see it. So this calls us out to say, what do I see? So it opens up with, when I survey the wondrous cross. No, that's not a surveyor out there with his instruments measuring. No, it's when I look at the cross. When I gaze intently at the cross that Jesus died on. When I look at that altar of sacrifice of the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God. When I see it, here's what happens. When I see it, I remember the offerings that were made. The blood that was drained, the perfect unblemished lamb. Who was he? Prince of Glory, was sacrificed. And thus all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. The blood image matters here. From his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. What really flowed? Blood. The blood of Jesus that forgives us. That's what really flowed. That's the love so amazing. So when we think about that sacrifice, when we survey the cross, when we sing the song, mentally get that image. Understand what's going on. So, from the humiliation of Jesus, from his humiliation, the sacrificial lamb, tied, killed, blood drained, burned on the altar, that's the lamb. Jesus went through much the same. He was restrained, he was tortured, he was beaten, he was nailed to the cross, he was spat upon, he was mocked, he was humiliated. And each one of us put Jesus in that place. How serious is that? But from his humiliation comes our exaltation. I said that very carefully. Might also result in exaltation, being very happy. But his humiliation led to our exaltation, our lifting up. We're lifted from the pit of sin, taken ultimately to heaven. Why? Because we're so good. No. Because of Jesus' humiliation. Philippians 3:8. I don't think I put that in the slide, but you can write that one down in your notes. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them Paul got it, didn't he? Let's pray that we can get it as we sing these songs. The very last words here demands my soul, my life, my all. Is there anything else? No. My soul, my life, my all. Write down Job 33, verse 28. There are actually a couple of passages in Job that mention that. He has redeemed my soul from going down into the pit, and my life shall look upon the light. Okay? Job 33, 28. God has offered us everything. He's also demanded everything. My soul, my life, my all. Don't hold back. So in conclusion, that song we sing before communion doesn't have to just be about communion. Okay? These are powerful, powerful songs. Every one of them in that list I had. Any song about the sacrifice of Jesus. Somebody took the time to set poetry. I talked a couple of weeks ago about that. What is poetry? It's an attempt to put a lot of meaning into a few words. That's really what it is, right? These songs are poetry, packing as much meaning as possible into a short, short song. These can be used in our personal study. These can be used to just change our attitudes. Sing through or read through one of these songs. Pray through one of these songs to start off a quiet time. And you might see your heart change more quickly. There's a lot of meaning packed into these songs. Don't just let fly by those words. Don't just sing them. Think about them. Yeah. And when we do sing them before communion, the point is we're trying to bring all of us to the foot of the cross, to the reality of the sacrifice of Jesus, to the peace, sin, guilt offering. God offered his only Son so that we could have communion with and forgiveness before God.
Amen.
And that is all it is. Without that, the rest of this is just a party. I like y'all. But without that, we got nothing. Right? So, when we sing these songs, think about the songs. Think about the meaning of the words. For these songs, about sacrifice, but also for every song we sing, every one of them, somebody poured their heart into putting those words together with a very specific meaning to help draw us closer to God in some way. So as we sing about the sacrifice of Jesus, let's make sure that we don't lose sight of what we're actually singing about. Some of these songs are amazingly beautiful. They really are. Beautiful settings, beautiful harmony. It's easy to get distracted by the sound, but don't lose track of what the words mean. Okay? Let's close out with a prayer. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much for being among us, for giving us the chance at forgiveness, for giving us peace, for giving us so many things, all through the power of the perfect sacrifice. Father, help us not to take that for granted. Help us to know that that is a gift beyond measure. And as we open our mouths to sing, help us always to sing words we mean. Help us always to unpack the meaning and understand what it is that we're talking about as we sing these words. Father, thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.